Lord, there are many folks in our class that have needs. And Lord, pray that you would work in every situation, show your power, that you might be glorified in every situation. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us this beautiful day today. Bless as we look at your word this morning. Speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Several weeks ago, I was over at the Firestone store next door here picking up my van. I think they rotated the tires or something. And as I walked in, there was a man at the counter talking to Todd and just kind of checking the business out, said that he had just moved into the area, was looking for a place to have his car worked on. And so as he was leaving, I said, hey, what's your situation? I'm assistant pastor over here at the church next door. And if you're new in the area, you might need a church home. And got talking to him. He told me that he was a nuclear physicist. And that's about how he said it, too. You know, and he was very proud of his position. And I said, really? I said, and I talked about why he was in the area and asked him if he was working over at Nuclear Fuels or why he was here, and talked to him a little bit. And then I invited him to church, and I gave him a track, and I said, look, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we teach it and preach it. And he said, well, you know, he said, the Bible is a good thing as long as you don't take everything to mean what it says. Yeah. And I said, well, I said, you know, Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And he said, he's the only, well, he said, I'm a Unitarian. Unitarian. Of course, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was God. And they believe that faith is good, but you have to balance it off with reason, your rational thought, your science. Unfortunately, my uncle is in much the same state. He has a doctor's degree in biology, was raised in a Christian home, went away to a secular university, and his faith was destroyed by the world's philosophy. Now, you're here this morning, and you probably are not in any danger of being destroyed by the world's philosophy as far as evolution or the fact there is no God or some of those kinds of things. But the world's philosophy, folks, covers a whole lot more than just, is there a God? The world's philosophy covers every area of your life. In fact, the world is trying to influence you in every area of your life, and they have a certain philosophy of life, and they want you to be pressured to conform to their way of thinking. It's going on all the time. And even as a believer, if you're not careful, by the way, happy birthday. You thought you could sneak in late and miss that, but you didn't. Her birthday is the 9th. There you go. They already sang happy birthday to me. So, a little payback there. Every area of your life, the world has a philosophy and is trying to control you and change you. And even as a believer, if you're not careful, you will find yourself thinking about things the same way the world does. Because everywhere you go, there are people, the media, and all the things around you that are pressuring you to get the world's philosophy. By the way, that is one reason we have Sunday school. To counterbalance the world's philosophies and ideas with the Word of God. That's one reason we're here. Now, this is not a new problem. In fact, in the book of Colossians, as Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, he warned them of this very thing. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, the simple matter of fact is, you will either be controlled by the world's philosophy, you'll be captured by the world's philosophy, or you will be complete in Christ. It's one of those two. And you say, I don't understand. Hopefully by the end of the lesson you will. Okay? All right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And he says, beware, watch out, wake up, pay attention, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. So you see those words, folks, complete in Christ in verse 10. We don't see the word captured, but it's the idea we'll look at in verse 8. Captured by philosophy, the world's philosophies, or complete in Christ. Okay, number one. Let's look this morning at captured by philosophy. Here's the warning. Literally, he says, beware. He says, look around. See what's going on around you. Pay attention because you're in great danger. And it's in the present tense. It's an ongoing thing. You, as a believer, you need to be alert to the world's philosophies and its pressures all the time. Have you watched some TV this week? How many of you did not use the remote and you watched a commercial? Yeah, some of you are pretty smart people. I don't watch commercials either. I don't believe in them. That's why God gave remotes. You can change channel. That's right. Even in those commercials, what were they doing? You watch a football game and they pan to the cheerleaders, especially professional. What are they doing? They're pushing their philosophy on you. You watch almost any television show. In fact, I guess I could say any television show. And guess what? World's philosophy. It said, beware. Be alert. It's going on all the time. Everywhere you go. You go to the checkout counter at the store. It's going on all the time right there. All those magazines are there. What's going on in the world? You listen to the media today. You listen to the news. What's going on? Trying to shape your thinking to be like the world's philosophy. He says, beware, beware. Now, this is not the only place in the Word of God that we hear this kind of statement. In Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. In Matthew 16:6, he says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In Acts 20, Paul says, look, when I leave, grievous wolves are going to come in, and you need to be watchful. I like what Paul said in Philippians 3:2. He says, beware of the dogs. Now, he's not talking about the kind that bark. He's talking about people. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. In 2 Peter 3:17, Peter says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So it says, beware. Why do you need to beware? Well, let's look at the verse. Lest any man spoil you. That's a neat word. And we don't use that word much today. You go in and they take a company and they spoil the company. We think of spoiled food or something like that. But it's a different idea where the conqueror would come in and would attack a city. And they would take all the people as slaves. It would take all of their things. It's their spoil. They would take that. And he said, look, beware lest someone comes in and they take you and they capture you. And they take away the truth. Now, folks, look. By the way, the same word is used in 2 Timothy 3:6, where it says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. The simple matter of fact is, folks, there is a danger in this world even for believers. And it is that the world is trying to capture your thinking, trying to capture you, take you spoil. And if we were honest, every one of us would have to say, yeah, here's an area in my life where my thinking is wrong. The world has influenced my thinking. And he says, beware. He said, you need to have an ongoing alertness because this process is going on every day of your life, every moment of your life. The world is trying to change you, trying to capture you, trying to take you for spoil, folks, and it's going on all the time. Christianity is under attack, folks. People are trying to get us to leave the truth and go the world's way. What do you see on most television programs? Violence, sex, immorality, crime, drugs, homosexuality, profanity. Hey, why is all that on those shows? Why is it there? Trying to get you to change your thinking. See, that the world's philosophy is homosexuality is okay. I mean, they were born that way. Well, yeah, they were. They were born sinners, just like us. Well, they have a certain gene. They don't have a choice. You bet they have a choice. But you see, they're trying to get you to accept it. It's okay. It's interesting, there are times people say, oh, you ought to watch that movie. It's a good movie. It's real clean, and it's fine. And so you get it, and you watch it, and you think, And you say, man, it had all these cuss words. Well, I don't remember any cuss words in it. What's going on, folks? The religious world is doing the same thing. What is the big push of the religious world? What is the worldly religion? What are they trying to get you to think? Everybody's okay as long as you're sincere. Doesn't really matter what you believe. As long as you're sincere. If you're sincere, you'll be okay. That's the world's philosophy. Isn't it amazing? And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Actually, when I was preaching in church for pastor. This Tim Tebow thing. I mean, you listen to this, folks. People hate Tim Tebow. Now, I mean, I know if you're a dyed-in-the-wool UT fan, you know, he's from Florida, you know, you got it. But I tell you what, the man's a believer. Has a wonderful testimony. And you know why they hate Tim Tebow? It's not because he can't pass a football. Okay? It's not because he runs the ball and doesn't pass. They hate him because he's a believer and an unashamed believer. I was watching at the end of, my wife is from Denver, and so she likes the Broncos, and we tape the games and fast forward. You can watch a football game in an hour. It's wonderful. You know, you just fast forward through everything. It's great. I've gotten to the point now I can't watch anything live. You know, I got to tape everything. And at the end of the thing, the TV cameras, the major channels, were trying to get him over there to interview him. And there was a small group. I've never seen this in an NFL game. Now, maybe I just missed it. I've seen it in college and high school. There was a small group of athletes out in the middle of the field praying. And he left the interview, and he went over, and he knelt down, and he prayed. And I thought, way to go. Way to go. They hate him because he's a believer. I was driving, I don't know where I was this week, driving somewhere, and I got behind a car, and they had two bumper stickers. I was in Johnson City. One said, "No God, N-O God, no hate." In other words, if we didn't believe in God, there would be no hatred. And I thought, boy, are you stupid. I wanted to rear-end him, you know. Kind of proves his point, doesn't it? It also said, I had the same problem when I see certain bumper stickers politically, but I don't want to go there. On the other side of his bumper, it said something about separation of church and state. And I thought, wow. Tanner was telling me this week about he'd heard on the news about a billboard, I don't know if it was Chicago or Indiana, somewhere up north, and it was a manger scene, beautiful manger scene, and it said, "You know it's a myth. This season, let it be reason." In other words, you need to throw away your faith and you need to just use your intellect and your mind. There are billboards, I did a search for other billboards, there's one in Niagara Falls that says, "You don't need God to hope, to care, to love, or to live. You don't need God." Now, folks, that's the world's philosophy. And it's everywhere. Now, what are they using? Notice, here it is. Beware. He said, don't let them capture you. Now, what are they going to use to capture you? Now, I've already mentioned it several times. What is it? Well, it's right here in the passage. Beware lest any man spoil you or capture you through philosophy. Now, you know the word philosophy. It's really two words. Anybody tell me what the word philosophy means? Love of knowledge or love of wisdom. Love of wisdom. And that in itself is not bad, is it? In fact, if you read the Word of God, there is one writer that says, hey, pursue wisdom, seek wisdom. Who is that? Solomon. But that's God's wisdom. This is talking about the world's wisdom. It is anti-God. It has nothing to do with God. But they sure sound smart, don't they? Or they think they're smart. I mean, you can just see them, can't you? I was reading about one guy. I'm going to give you a quote from this guy. Was a 20th century, died in 1980, I think. French philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre, something like that. I'm sure you guys read him all the time. And I looked at his picture, and he had a pipe in his mouth. He just looked like a brilliant man. He turned down the Nobel Prize because he thought he was too good for it, I guess. I don't know why he turned it down in literature. And I thought, how stupid can you be? I mean, they think they're brilliant. They use all these big words and, oh, they're so intellectual and I'm so smart. And yet you compare them with the Word of God and they're so dumb. It's amazing to read these folks. And they have all these high-sounding knowledge and theories, and they're so authoritative, and they've got ideas about everything. I mean, the world's philosophy begins with, is there a God? If there is, what kind of a God is he? Why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing while we're here? What's our relationship to God? What is God like if there is a God? All of these things are things that they try to figure out. The only problem is, all of their conclusions are based on man's thinking. What is man's thinking like since the fall? It's flawed. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. Romans 1 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. James 3:15 says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. But he says, this wisdom is earthly, sensual, devilish. There you go. That's the world's wisdom, folks. It's totally devoid of intellectual, moral, or spiritual value. It's just not there. It's not there. Now, this is the weapon they use. Now, he's going to go on and describe it. Look at the descriptions. Number one, vain deceit. This is an interesting word. The idea is a fish hook. How many men like to fish? I'll pray for it. How many women fish? Do you really? Wow, that's incredible. Well, I'll stop there. I know you fished for Paul for years and you finally caught him, but that's not what I was saying. When you go fishing, you got to have a hook, right? How many of you just go out with a bare hook and drop that old hook in the water and the fish just go to town, right? No. You put a worm on it or you use some kind of lure. Now, I'm speaking about things I know nothing of, okay? I've fished a couple times, never caught anything in my life except my wife, and then that was it, you know. So, but you disguise the hook, don't you? So they can't see the hook, and then they bite the lure, the fly, or whatever, the worm, and then you got them. And this is the picture, folks. This is the picture. And what ended up happening to that fish when you catch him? Well, you throw him back because you're a real sportsman, because he was too small. You take him home, and you flay him, and you eat that bad boy. And what looked good to him brought about his death, and that's exactly what the world's philosophy will do, folks. Help me here. Give me a phrase that would sum up the world's philosophy. Now, I know this will vary, but
if it feels good, do it.
Yeah. If it feels good, do it. That's pretty good. What else? No absolutes. Can you think of, of course, I think of commercials. You only go around once in life, so you got to grab all the gusto you can. You never thought you'd hear that in Sunday school, did you? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. That's the world's philosophy, folks. You say, boy, that's really stupid. Then why in the world do we do exactly what those things say as believers? Why do we get consumed as believers with having things, with doing things, with being somebody? That's exactly right, yeah. Because it's deceitful, that's exactly right. And all we see is that worm wiggling on the hook. And we think, boy, that looks good. And the world tells you it's good. And we listen to the world. And what happens? He said it's vain deceit. It's like that fish hook. It's interesting. Solomon, I was talking to a young man this week who had gotten away from the Lord and was coming back to the Lord. It was an exciting time. And he said to me, you know, he said, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And he said, I've tried all the things of the world, and they don't satisfy. They just bring misery. Well, isn't that what Solomon said? I mean, Solomon could have any human pleasure he wanted. He was the king. He had all power. Solomon could build anything. He could do anything he wanted to do. Want to go on a cruise? Want a new chariot? You know, hey, Solomon could do anything he wanted. He could have it. He could do it. He could be it. What did he say at the end of Ecclesiastes? Or all through the book? It's all vanity. It's all empty. It does not satisfy. Here's what Jean-Paul Sartre said, this French philosopher that I mentioned. Now, this is deep. You ready? Now, sit up. This is real important, okay? Listen up, okay? This is good for you right here. Life, this, by the way, this guy's brilliant. I just want to know that ahead of time, okay? One of the smartest men in our time. Here he is. You ready? This is going to change your life. Life is an empty bubble on the sea of nothingness. Now, doesn't that excite your soul? He said, every existing thing is born without reason, goes on living out of weakness, and dies by accident. I bet he's one of the happiest people in the world. What a bunch of junk. It's empty. Now here's this guy that's so smart, supposedly, and his conclusion is life is empty. Death is accidental. There's no reason for us being here. It's just... That's the world philosophy. So he says, look, it's vain deceit. Notice, secondly, tradition of men. Where do the world's philosophies come from? Some guy made it up. And then some other guy who was his student came along and changed his philosophy a little bit. And then some other guy came along and changed his philosophy a little bit. And it keeps passing on down from generation to generation to generation. And it's tradition. It's just tradition. That's where it came from. It didn't come from God. It's just tradition. Now, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I think we have time to do this. So we see this philosophy, folks. It's empty. That is not the right passage. 7, Mark 7. Scribal error, sorry. Mark 7. No, I really meant Mark. No, I'm just kidding. It's really 7. Mark 7. I'm trying to keep you awake after all that food you ate. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Why? Because the Bible says something about it? Now, you know, if your mom had been around, I guess you should wash your hands. But this was ceremonial washing. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the, what? Tradition of the elders. Verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? He said unto them in verse 6, well hath Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites, as it was written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching the things that are doctrine and truth, the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Tradition. Why do people believe what they believe? Well, that's what my mama said. Why did she believe that? Well, that's what her mama said. Well, that's what her mama said. You know, tradition. Tradition. That's what this philosophy is, folks. It's all tradition. It's all comes out of man's thinking. And then thirdly, we got to hurry now. Colossians. Back to Colossians chapter 2. Not only that, but this is kind of an unusual phrase. It says, after the rudiments of the world, the rudiments. The rudiments are the basic learning, the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s. He said this stuff is just all their basic principles of the world. Now, what's the basic principle of the world? Well, it's found in 1 John chapter 2, and he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, that's the world. What's the basic truth of the world, folks? Fun, fortune, fame. There it is. He said all of these philosophies are based on the rudiments, the basic teachings of the world, which is found in 1 John 2. It's all based on that. It's interesting. Paul in Galatians 4, we won't turn there, but Paul said when you got saved, you were saved out of bondage to the elements of the world. Same phrase, same idea. He said, you were saved out of all this stuff. He said, now that you've been saved and you're released from these things, he said, why are you going back? And he says to the weak, I like this, the weak and beggarly elements. Isn't that a great phrase? weren't you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. He said, you've gone right back in. You're a believer, but you've gone back in and you're taking the things of the world, the philosophies of the world, and you're letting them control you. And then thirdly, he describes this philosophy. Here he sums it up. Look at last phrase. Here it is. This is enough, and not after Christ. He said, this philosophy of the world that's influencing you, look, it's not of Christ. It's not of Christ. And that's enough, isn't it? You look at some teaching, folks, some idea, some philosophy, and you say, is this what Christ taught? Is this what Christ lived? If not, throw it out. And by the way, here's another good phrase for you. If in doubt, don't do it. If in doubt, say, are you not sure? I'm not sure if this is right or wrong. Don't do it. Boy, we'd learn a lot. We'd change a lot, wouldn't we? He said, look, these things, these philosophies, folks, they're vain. They're after tradition of men. The rudiments of the world. They're not of Christ. We should not do them. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time looking at verse 9 and 10. He said, all right, you're being... The world and its philosophy, its thinking is trying to capture you, take you spoil. But he said, all right, here's the opposite side, verse 9 and 10. No, instead, we are complete in Christ. Now notice, this is great stuff. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? For in him, that's Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is God. All of God, whatever makes up the attributes of God, the being of God, is in Christ. Christ is, and this is amazing, he's all man, but he's all God. Now how can that be? That's divine. It's exciting to me, today's Gift Sunday. How did Christ become? I mean, how did Jesus Christ become? Well, through the virgin birth of Mary. Through the virgin birth, through the birth of Mary, he was a man. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in her body, he was God. What a wonderful truth. He's saying, look, in Christ, all of God dwells in Christ. That's why we use the word Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven, took on him the form of flesh, but he was still God. Now this is obviously, this may be one of the greatest statements of the deity of Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. Oh, by the way, we go back to our Gnostics and the emanation thing, remember that? God, and then emanation had a little bit of God, a little less God, a little less God, a little less God, a little less God, then we have Jesus. Flies in the face of it. No, he said, look, Jesus was God. He had all God. And by the way, it says it dwells in him. That means for all time. The Gnostics also taught that the Spirit would come on Christ at time. No, he was always God. When he was born, he was God. He was God all during his life. Now, here's the great thing. Look at verse 10. Now, you can't tell it, but the same word is used in verse 9 as in verse 10. And ye are complete in him. What word in verse 9 is the same word as the word complete in verse 10? Fullness. He said Jesus Christ was full of God and you are full of Christ. Wow. He said you're complete in Christ. Now what does that mean, folks? Well, because of the fall, we were incomplete spiritually. We couldn't fellowship with God. We were incomplete intellectually. We can't know truth. Okay? We were incomplete morally. We didn't have any moral righteous standards. If we did, we couldn't do them. When you got saved, all of that changed. When you got saved, you became complete spiritually. You can walk with God. You can fellowship with God. When you got saved, you became complete morally. Not only do you know what is right and what's wrong, but you have the power because of the indwelling Holy Spirit to do what's right. And you became complete intellectually because now you've got the truth. Now, if you're complete in Christ, what else do you need? And yet, we often find ourselves being sucked in by the world's teaching, the world's philosophies. Look, I am here to tell you today, on the authority of the Word of God, that if you have Christ, then you can have all the satisfaction you need in Christ. You can have all the joy you need in Christ. You can have all the success you need in Christ. The place we get in trouble, folks, is where we say, I've got Christ, but boy, I would really like this over here that the world has to offer. And I know if I do that, I'll be satisfied and I'll be... There's no satisfaction outside of Christ. We're complete in Him. Now, obviously, let's talk about our salvation. If you have Christ, you need nothing else to get you to heaven. That's it. One writer, I thought was neat, he said, when we add to Christ, we're subtracting from Christ. When you say you need Christ plus something, what you're saying? Christ is not enough. Now look, this week and the rest of your life, the world is going to try to influence you with its philosophies and ideas that you can't be happy as a believer unless you have this, or unless you do this, or unless you are this. And I want to remind you, folks, that as a believer, you are in Christ. You are complete in Christ. All the joy you need can be found in your relationship and obedience to Christ. You obey Christ. You do what Christ wants you to do. Then you'll have satisfaction. Then you'll have accomplishment. Then you'll be what God wants you to be, folks. But if we get sidetracked by all the world's philosophies and ideas and we start pursuing them, boy, if I just had this, I'd be happy. How many of you ever said that? Boy, if I just had this, I'd be happy, and you got it and you said... Or boy, if I could just go here. Man, I tell you what, I would be content. And you go there and you think. Look, folks, the things the world has to offer you and me, they will not satisfy. They're like a fish hook that looks real good. But when you do it, you get caught. And it only brings misery. We're complete in Christ. If we will take this book and do what this book says, you'll have joy. You'll have satisfaction. And it'll be lasting satisfaction. Hey, there are no hangovers from reading God's Word. You don't have to get up the next morning and say, oh, wow, I can't believe I did that. It's amazing. I don't know who was talking this week. Somebody was talking about, I don't know if it's teachers or who it was, and they get together Monday morning and say, oh, you wouldn't believe what you did. I did that. Oh, I don't remember doing that because they were so drunk. And I thought, wow, that's really joy. That's great satisfaction, isn't it? What a wonderful life. Try it here, folks. Complete in Christ. Captured by the world, they're after you. Beware. Or complete in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the great truth that there is total satisfaction, total joy, total life in Christ. And this week, as the world tries to influence us and impact our lives with their teachings and their philosophies, God, help us to beware. Help us to be alert. Help us to see it for what it is and to run back to your word and to the truth, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.